Hello there, listeners. It's Tyler. Just wanted to let you guys know what's going on. So this is going to be another compilation of some of Alderaan Place's greatest hits or some of the funniest moments, according to Taz and I. We've been both recovering from the show that just closed a couple weeks ago. Taz has taken a nice vacation, much deserved, and I've been working my butt off. So until we can get together and record again, please enjoy some of our greatest moments or some of Taz and I's favorite moments, at least.
We're going to start by talking about Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah. So there's a new Jurassic World movie coming out like in June or July, I think. They're bringing back Star-Lord and Ron Howard's daughter and then some kid. I don't even know. Like, I've only seen the first Jurassic World like once. I bought it so I could rewatch it. Yeah, me too. This one looks pretty much like every other Jurassic Park movie because there's dinosaurs in it.
I hear in this one the Star-Lord's actually going to ride the T-Rex.
Oh.
So, yeah, he's actually spent the time in between now. Between the last one and this one, he's like, "Oh, I mastered raptors now. So the next challenge is the Tyrannosaurus."
So it's like a dinosaur rodeo. Like long can he stay
that
on the T-Rex?
That was the original subtitle of Jurassic World 2, Dinosaur Rodeo.
Giddy up. Or that's the tagline for the movie. Giddy up.
Yes. Yeah. Giddy up, Star-Lord. So I think the first act or so of the movie is going to focus on the relationship between Star-Lord this T-Rex, who I believe he is naming Tiny the T-Rex, I believe is his full title.
Not because of the hands. I think it's really more of
one of those ironic nicknames, you know?
Because there's like a tiny chance that he'll actually be able to pull this off.
Oh, such a tiny chance. And that's where Act 2 comes in. See, because Act 1 starts with their, you know, forming this relationship and everything. And then they're like the best in the dinosaur rodeo biz for a while.
Right.
So they are, you know, they're doing the circuits down in Brazil, where this is very big, you know, and the regulations are a little more lax than they are here in the States.
So there's going to be a lot of holding on to your butts in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not as many chase scenes and that kind of stuff.
But I bet they will bring Samuel Jackson back.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
So he can be like, I hope you're ready to hold on to your butts, folks. This is going to be one crazy rodeo today.
Okay, I guess we should start by saying this will be full of spoilers.
We
managed to get our hands on an early release of Jurassic World 2 Dinosaur Rodeo. Don't ask us how. Yeah. We cannot incriminate anyone, but we'll just say it was Steven.
Yeah, we got the low. I mean, I did snap that photo with Jeff Goldblum back in April at Dallas Comic Con. So while I was there, I got to talk to him the longest. I pushed Christopher Lloyd out of the way. I said, get out of here. No one knows who you are anymore. I said, Jeff, let's be real here. I'm not here for a photo. Give me that Jurassic World 2. Come on. What's it all about?
Yeah.
So
you can, if you look subtly in the picture of you guys, like, you know, posing, you can see him just like slipping it in.
Yeah. He's sliding me the copy. So
also that's what she said.
Zinger.
Bazinger.
So that's how we got Jurassic World 2. Initially.
So
hold on to those spoiler butts because we're spoiling this movie.
Like I said, Act 1 focusing on this rodeo circuit, then it takes a turn in Act 2 because they get too into the fame and he's not taking care. They're not, Chris Pratt is not, and yes, I said Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, this is actually his brother who's in this one now. Chris Pratt, obviously, he disappeared in Infinity War, so he does not exist anymore.
That is true.
So this is Chris Pratt. He's like the clone. I already said brother. He's the brother of Chris Pratt. So,
well, have you ever seen that Facebook, that like, you know, meme thing where it's like, my father's like, that's so mean to name your kid, you know, that, something about blah, blah, blah. And it's like, Crisp Rat.
Crisp Rat.
It's like, that's all I can hear is Crisp Rat.
So Chris Brat.
Anyway, point being, he's not taking care of the dinosaur. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to
yeah,
what's
so
your take on it?
Chris Bratt's having a hard time. You know, he's like, this is obviously a lot bigger than a Raptor. I don't know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I forgot what the other, he had a pal in the first one.
Blue.
My boy, Blue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he sang Dust in the Wind, I believe.
Yeah, and then that's why Blue ran off. Blue was like, I'm so tired of you using pop culture for our relationship. I'm out of here.
Pop culture is the coping mechanism for you, Star-Lord.
Yeah, and I mean, so.
Oh, that was actually accurate, though.
So basically, Chris Pratt has to bring in all of these like resources to help him maintain this relationship with the T-Rex. Mm-hmm. He consults other dinosaurs mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. on how they handle their relationship with the T-Rex, and they say, "Well, mostly we get eaten.
Yeah,
we get killed."
But then he gets some really solid advice from a benevolent hooker.
Oh, yes.
Because you know, there's that whole like downward spiral where him and you know Ron Howard's kid are you know on the outs and you know he's drinking and you know hooking up with hookers and stuff. The hooker who is ironically played by Woody Harrelson.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say Laura Dern, but she comes back after all these years.
Yes.
No, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, no, it's Woody Harrelson for sure.
As Laura Dern?
Yes.
Of course, yeah.
But not as the character.
No.
As the actress, Laura Dern. Yeah, it's very meta. It's very confusing. It gets a little weird for
most movies are nowadays.
Shortly after their words, there's that scene where Star-Lord and the dinosaur like take acid together and like go on a spirit journey, and that shit is just out there.
Yeah, and
so I don't know,
they also reference another Spielberg movie. This isn't a Spielberg movie, but that movie We're Back, where the dinosaurs mm-hmm, are mm-hmm. in like New York.
Yes, during the acid scene the T-Rex becomes that dinosaur.
Yeah,
it's I'm so glad you caught that. So you know, a lot of people are probably gonna miss it.
Some Huey Lewis probably plays, you know. It's uh-huh, like uh-huh. the Jurassic Park, as I remember it, it's the Jurassic Park theme as like the instrumental, but it's Huey Lewis singing over that.
Yeah, it's like it's a mashup of the Jurassic Park theme and Power of Love, I think.
It's an acid trip. The dinosaurs are back. It's the power of love. Something like that. That's what I remember from. Yes. Of course, we could only watch the movie once because the movie does disintegrate after you watch it. It is a fossil like dinosaurs.
That's true. Now. Oh, and there was that bonus episode of Dinosaurs on the disc as well.
Yeah.
So, and by disc, I mean jump drive that Jeff Goldblum slipped you.
Yeah. It was in the shape of a T-Rex.
Yeah, it was really cute.
And when like it when you put it in the USB drive and it the computer acknowledges that it connects,
it like roar.
It actually goes ow. It does
my
the
ringtone.
Yeah, it does the laugh. So let's talk about the Jeff's pivotal role in this movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's kind of the groundbreaking like power shift.
Yeah, in the movie, because there's that whole like subplot where like the rival roadie ear. Mm-hmm. Rodeo or cowboy dino boy I got there. His rival Dino Boy, who is played by what's his name, I know, I've seen him in so many things. Don Cheadle.
Yeah. the Don. Yes, Cheadle.
Don Cheadle, War Machine. What am I thinking? Ironically enough, this role was also originally supposed to be played by Terrence Howard.
He wanted too much money.
Right. And then he also insisted that, you know, the world was like 2000 years old or something.
Yeah. He was like, I better get a TV series for this too. On all, like, it's going to be on all TV networks and we're going to put it on streaming networks.
And you have to pay me as much as you pay Chris Pratt.
Yeah. And Robert Downey Jr., even though he's not in this movie, I want as much as he's getting for this.
Yeah. And it's like, but we're paying Robert Downey Jr. a lot for this movie.
He's like, hey, who is this Chris Pratt fellow? Like,
Robert Downey Jr. is actually the voice of the T-Rex in the acid flashback. Remember?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he pulled a pretty decent cut there. Anyway, so Don Cheadle, his rival. Don Cheadle is a villain, is wonderful. We don't see it enough.
Wouldn't expect it from Dino Boy.
No. But anyway, so Don Cheadle, though, you know, actually steals his T-Rex away, steals Tiny away mm-hmm. with promises of, like, you know, live goats and stuff. So there's all that. And then he's, like, heartbroken. And he's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get Tiny back? Tiny's been brainwashed. And then he runs into Jeff Goldblum at the bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a you know, conversation, and Jeff and Kurt.
He's like, Jeff, I had no idea that I would find you
here. I mean, Dr. Malcolm.
Dr. Malcolm, I had no idea I'd find you here. And he goes, well, life finds a way.
Wish that was on the soundboard so bad.
Yeah, we'll incorporate that. We'll just make the noise ourselves until then. So they run into each other, mm-hmm. and he's like, man, how did you rodeo the dinosaurs back in the day? And he says, well, you know, honestly, I just told people to stay away from them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, you
we
know,
just ran.
But my best advice is when it's not followed. So that's what you got to do. Don't follow my advice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Chris was like, wow, thank you so much.
So I have to run to the dinosaur.
Yes. Yeah. That's when its mouth is open, that's when I'm going to charge forward and I'm going to rodeo it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so he's like, great, thanks. And yes. He's like, okay.
And then he like monster. And so he does this.
Yes.
Of course, you know, spoilers, we're getting into act three now. Yes.
If you're still listening,
don't and even... he like Monster Hunter Worlds like up the side of it.
Yeah.
And like, and rodeos it real good. And then Tiny's like, oh yeah, you're the best dino boy.
You are the real dino boy.
You are the dino boy.
And see, the point of this movie is to just bring back everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, mm-hmm. Vince Vaughn's character comes back.
Yes, that was a surprise. He's the MC commentator guy at the rodeo, right?
Yeah, and, yeah. And then they bring back the main man of it all, the guy who, like, started the Jurassic mm-hmm. Park thing from the beginning.
Hammond.
Yeah. Hammond, yes. Mm-hmm. And it turns out,
really surprising, great use of CG.
Yes, because he's been dead all this time, but mm-hmm. not really dead because they kept him on ice.
Yeah, they Walt Disney'd him.
They mutated the dinosaur from him, so he's actually inside of the dinosaur, like
Krang style, just like head in the stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, CG was wonderful.
They did the same thing to him like he did with like finding the fly inside the sap.
Yes, that scene of naked Hammond encased in amber was the greatest thing I have ever.
that was I had no idea when they said Jurassic World like dinosaur rodeo, like how much of a like trip this was gonna be. I mean, like, there's acid, there's dinosaurs, some rodeos.
Jeff Goldblum,
Dr. Hammond.
Naked and Amber. It's, I cannot recommend this movie enough. I think it is taking the series in a bold new direction.
Yeah.
And I suggest everyone should pay all the money to go see
Absolutely.
It when it comes out.
Don't spend your money on these Marvel movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're so predictable.
And Incredibles 2, like, oh, we've been waiting for that one, but this... Folks, this is what it's all about.
The sequel that nobody asked for
yeah.
is going to be the movie of the year.
And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, there is a post-credit scene. They bring back the gerbil balls from the first Jurassic mm-hmm, World, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it's just the dinosaur like bouncing it on a basketball court with people inside of it, and just one arm. Like it is tiny, and he's just...
Yeah, whoosh, it's a lot of fun.
Kobe, you know.
Yeah, it was fun.
Jurassic World, Dinosaur Rodeo.
And welcome to Alderaan Places,
the semi-annual episode of Alderaan Places. Biannual, triannual,
but 2 a year, yeah, like 2 a year roughly.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Biannual, right
we're like the Olympics.
No, semi-annual.
We're kind You're of right like kind time. Of like the Olympics of podcasts, I guess.
You just start doing one every 4 years
and we're hosted in different countries.
Well, that part sounds exciting.
Yes, we have an opening ceremony and everything.
Oh yes. Does someone have to like do they carry a lightsaber?
It's actually just wand? Impersonators of like other like pop culture characters, you know, like we just go to like,
so we get people from Hollywood Boulevard.
Exactly.
So we get Hollywood Spooderman.
Yes.
And we have him running the sonic screwdriver
mm-hmm.
up to the starting gate line,
like a Bill Murray impersonator. But he's like impersonating almost every role Bill Murray's ever done, including Garfield.
So he's just like slipping from one to the other. So like,
yeah,
you might be talking to Peter Venkman at one point, and mm-hmm. then 5 seconds later you're talking to the guy from Groundhog's Day,
and then Garfield,
whose name I went blank on. Yeah. Or you might be talking to Ebenezer Scrooge from Scrooged.
Yes. And then
is
just
his name
Bill
still
Murray.
Ebenezer in that one, actually I'm not sure.
His name is actually just Scrooge.
Sometimes he's zombie Bill Murray.
Oh God, yes. But I mean, like, some he'll just be like, "You just got Scrooged."
Like, Scrooge me. All right, so I mean, we do have a lot to talk about, though. This is a very, very serious episode.
Yes, that's why we're here.
Yeah,
thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you to my wife Darby for sitting off screen judging me.
This episode is sponsored by Push Pops.
That's what I said. Okay.
This episode is actually sponsored by Push Pops,
and We Happy Few, which is being played. In the background also.
We're not endorsed by any way by Push Pops or We Happy Few. But if you would like to...
Affiliated with or endorsed by Gearbox Studios or whatever that other company is that made this game.
And whoever made Push Pops. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
The Flintstones?
Yeah.
I mean, they always had Fred on them, right?
So is that prehistorically like the oldest ice cream?
I think so. I mean, it's not... Is it ice cream? It's sherbet.
It's sherbet. Okay, so...
Is
it prehistorically the oldest sherbet in time? Like,
I mean, probably.
What did they make it out of?
Dino milk?
Yeah.
I mean, probably. Yeah,
I'm going to say Dino had something to do with that. that's why they kept him around.
They never showed you the scenes where they had to get up early every morning to milk Dino.
I would pay good money to watch like a behind the scenes documentary of like the set of Flintstones, just like real world Flintstones, like real world bedrock. Like that's actually like
Fred and Wilma really couldn't stand each other behind the scenes.
Just they have like a one on one with like Bam Bam, and he's just like Bam Bam, Bam Bam, Bam Bam, Bam Bam.
The dark truth behind America's favorite modern Stone Age family.
Yes. Oh God.
This
changes everything I actually want to talk about now. I'm kind of invested in this.
This true crime-esque Flintstones documentary.
There's been a murder in Bedrock. He was clubbed to death.
It was a day that started out like any other for ordinary working man Fred Flintstone. Little did he know. Everything was about to change.
Wilma!
I mean, I always knew Fred was angry, but I never thought he'd take it that far.
Dino's just like, wah, 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 wah. Basically.
I mean, we should have seen it coming. He always talked about little green men granting wishes and stuff.
Yes. I forget about that guy.
One time he disappeared for a week straight and claimed he was in the future with his friend George.
Well, hold on. But do we really want a behind the scenes of like a real world bedrock of the cartoon Flintstones or the movies? Because the movies are a whole nother level.
It's true. I don't know if I could handle all the stuff about John Goodman's crippling cocaine abuse on set.
Oh, God. Yikes. Yikes.
I just want to point out that I have no idea if John Goodman was on cocaine during the filming of
He might have to get through all that. Like, I mean, you need something.
You need a little something. I feel like some executive somewhere was like, we got to find a way to make Batman more relevant to the kids. Well, you there, I need you to Google Batman. Look through all the images and tell me what, you know, and stories and tell me what people want to see. And some intern did it. And, you know, they Googled what Batman. And they just went through all the results. And the internet's a terrifying place.
Of course.
It is. And they came back to the boss and they were just like, well, apparently everyone wants to see Batman's dick. And possibly a romantic relationship with the Joker. Or Superman. I'm not sure. Possibly both at the same time.
Anyone he's had pure hatred for, it's actually more of like unsatiable love. Like he's like, yeah, no, I've really got it for this one.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's basically the intern just found some fanfic.
Yeah, I mean, you can type in Batman / anything and I guarantee there's a story out there. Hell, you could probably type in like Batman / Falcor. Like it's probably real. I don't know. I'm just saying they sent someone into the depths of the internet to try and learn what people really wanted. And they came back with, well, more of Batman's dick.
It sounds like they stumbled into the dark web on this one. And
I don't think you have to get into the dark web for this one. I think you just have to go to DeviantArt.
DeviantArt, yes. Okay. Fair enough. That is the best answer.
Reddit. Like
Reddit, yeah. No. I agree. Like I think this all started clearly with the bat nipples. I think this was it went down the rabbit hole. It's been a spiral. Yeah. Ever since we got bat nipples, everyone's just wondering, well, I mean, we know that he has bat nipples, so I mean, what else?
I'll take it back one step further than that. Mm-hmm. The one Batman Forever, the movie right before that, we got a weirdly accentuated Batman butt shot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I remember because I had older sisters who that was the entire reason they watched that movie was for a shot of Val Kilmer's a booty.
God, but, I could just imagine him having that conversation with Lucius, like, okay, like this suit's really great, Lucius, but what I'm going for in this one is I'm really trying, like, I've been doing a lot of squats and I've been trying to, like, you know, tighten my butt, and I really want the suit to just highlight that. So what can you give me?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that my glutes look.
He's like, Mr. Wayne, I can make a mold of your butt, and that way, like, you're literally just putting your butt on a mold of your butt. So it's like almost like triple highlighting.
Yeah, like took like a cast. Yeah, it is literally form fit made for your ass.
Yes.
Just don't gain any muscle or lose any fat or change at all.
No pressure. You got this.
You're Batman.
You are Batman.
So
basically, I mean, I know what you guys are thinking. You're thinking, okay, so we've seen Batman's dick. How does it hold up? How does it measure? Well, folks, he has a tiny penis. I'm sorry. It's all been leading up to this. He has a small penis.
But for real, though, you haven't seen it, have you?
I have.
Have you?
I have. Yeah, I ended up looked stumbling. Good,
because I pulled it up here. No. So we could.
God. Oh, God. It is small.
I mean, it's probably cold in there for one. He was in the pool.
He keeps it pretty cold.
There was shrinkage.
He has to keep it like a real bat cave. Like, and he hangs upside down, you know.
Okay, so also, what is the context of this? Is he coming straight off of, like, doing Batman-y things? Like, like, did he just get done, like, kicking the Riddler's ass? Or, like, I don't know. Or is this, like, he's getting ready to become Batman?
I think it's straight up that scene from, like, one of the old Batman cartoons where he's chasing after Scarecrow and
he gets fear gassed.
Scarecrow says something to him. He's like, hey, Batman, guess what I have that you don't? And he's like, what? He's like, parents. Batman just sheds a tear and he runs off. And so Batman's like, ugh, and just like runs home and just like immediately just strips out of his clothes for some reason. And Alfred's like, Master Wayne, oh my God.
That's fair. I was just curious because I feel like, I mean, because there were two routes, two states of being for the bat dick,
okay,
that it could have existed in. One being flaccid, as it appears to be. And the other being a full-on chub. And that would have been a really bold choice, I feel. If they're just like, yeah, Batman just got done beating the shit out of some criminals, comes home, rock hard.
Nothing turns me on more than justice. But what
I'm just saying, if they want to be bold, they should have. That was the whole thing with this whole black label. They're trying to be like bold and edgy. Like, then do it. Be edgy. Like,
we should have brought in our expert on this one. Our other, you know, member of Alderaan Places, Steven, actually purchased the comic himself, and he read it, and there's photo proof of him reading it, and the faces that he's making.
I can only imagine.
It seems like he's in pure shock, realizing that it wasn't as great as he thought it would be, maybe. Or maybe he was like, wow, he's bigger than me.
Burn.
And then he closed the comic.
I just can't imagine being the artist who got tasked with this.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine. You're at work one day and they're just like, yeah, I need you to draw this scene. And yeah, Batman's, the little bat's going to be in it.
The little bat's going to be. And I'm not like, talking about his penis.
And you have to make a decision also at that point about like, well, what is Batman's penis like?
What does he call it? Because he doesn't call it his penis.
It's, I mean, probably the bat penis or
yeah,
the bat dick. Or, you know, probably not bat dick because that's weird.
That's leading to another fanfic that's probably
that is 129,000% out there,
and there's probably several of them.
Oh, there's probably several thousand of them.
Yes,
the internet is horrifying.
What I think is, I don't think this is actually a comic. I think it's literally just the cover page. You open it, it's just that one page. Uh-huh. And then you close it, and
that's it.
It's just three whole pages, I guess.
No, I think it's just a normal, like completely normal, average Batman comic. But then in the center is like a fold out, like it's a centerfold.
It's an interactive, yeah,
like just old school, like Playboy centerfold.
All the fanboys are like, "Damn, get a look at this!" Like,
oh, wow. And I think he definitely 120% shaves his pubes into the shape of a bat.
Yeah, definitely. No, and what we were
he manscapes into the shape of a bat.
And what we were saying the other day is that he definitely has a cowl for it too. So it's like,
does he have condoms that just look like his cowl?
Well, no, because I mean, only if I don't know, maybe not, because if he's just like sleeping with all these women, he can't. I mean, maybe he does. And they're like, why is that on your penis? He's like,
it's the bat condom.
I'm a big fan of Batman. I mean, I'm a big fan.
I can't risk being identified by my penis.
Are you saying your penis is Batman? I'm not saying it's not Batman.
Did you know a penis is like a thumbprint? The print left by a penis is completely 100% unique.
Oh, we were originally going to title this episode Batman's Dick, and in parentheses I was going to say not Robin, but
I think we've got some better ideas.
We do have a much better title.
Okay, so The Witcher, though. No, I'm pretty excited.
We can't even twist this one around, honestly. I don't know what we could, you know. I think we're just supporting it. You know, we're supporting the cause.
Yeah, no, I support it. I'm excited. I would... who do you want to see play Vesemir?
Isn't that the...
The old Witcher.
Old Witcher?
Yeah.
Is the guy who played Gimli still alive?
John Rhys Davies?
Sure, if that's him.
That is, yes.
Okay.
Nice pull. Okay.
Him. Is the grandpa from Princess Bride still alive?
Definitely not.
Okay, then Billy Crystal.
Yes, Billy Crystal in the badass role he was born to play. I've never seen Billy Crystal as an action star before, unless you count City Slickers. But... I wouldn't call that a breakout action role. Yeah, it is about time that Billy Crystal gets some recognition for his amazing stage combat work.
Turns out they shot City Slickers wrong, because the trailer should have been like, Billy Crystal is City Slickers.
Yes.
A man with an agenda for justice.
Goes on a trail ride like no other.
And he's all booked up.
And it's all fun and games till Curly winds up dead. Bum, bum, bum.
So Billy Crystal
to defend himself.
Billy Crystal is Vesemir, and mm-hmm. he's just using his Billy Crystal voice, but he looks, you know, like very badass. It's just like, Gerald, okay. Okay, Gerald. We gotta, you know.
You mind if I call you Jerry?
Oh God, yeah. Yes.
Okay, Jerry. Tablave. Of course there's been a lot of stink about who's gonna play Siri. Oh, because you know, there's stock of whatever, I don't care, whatever race they go with, I'm gonna watch it. It'll be all right. But if they are really set on a black actress playing Siri, I'd really like to see Wanda Sykes do it.
Okay, you say Wanda Sykes, I say Whoopi Goldberg.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know, Oprah, she's a really good actress.
That's true. My favorite Oprah commercial ever, where she's doing Weight Watchers.
I love bread.
I love bread. I love bread.
My favorite thing Oprah's ever been in is when she got hit by Josh driving that car in Drake and Josh. best performance. Or when Josh has that
would run over again.
Would run over again. Would intentionally swerve to hit. Or that cutout that Josh has of Oprah. Commander Nichols! Yeah, I don't know. Oprah was, I don't know, they really didn't use her enough in that show.
Sure, they should have really utilized the star power of Oprah.
Definitely. Or even Yvette Nicole Brown, the woman who played Helen. She could she could possibly...
I do love Yvette Nicole Brown.
Yeah, she is good.
She tweeted at a group of us one time.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Back when our friends Jace and John Hughes were doing a celebrity tweet up like once a week, it was a thing. I participated in, I think, two, and one of them was the Yvette Nicole Brown one.
I think we should bring that back, and we should definitely get in touch with Billy Crystal about this Witcher series.
We should hashtag celebrity tweet up Billy Crystal, is what you're saying?
Yes, we do have a Twitter.
We do.
I think we do need to be more active on it, and I think this is the perfect opportunity
to just flood it with posts of Billy Crystal as Vesemir.
I mean, and even if we can't get him for the role, we could potentially get him to start listening to our podcast,
and we could also potentially just convince people to make pictures of Billy Crystal as Vesemir.
Please do, Boss Logic. I know you're not listening to this, but you're really good at doing that sort of thing, and I think you should do this.
So, yeah, I think we're going to end on that note of hashtag Billy Crystal for Vesemir.
Absolutely. If you have anyone in mind that you want us to celebrity tweet up, please tell us and we will do it. Follow us on Twitter so you can stay updated with this.
I think Billy Crystal's a solid first target. Yes. He's kind of one of my heroes, so... Let's hope this doesn't go
wrong. And
this
is the
wrong.
Second time he's been brought up today in conversation, so.
That's true. I mean, to be fair, I'm only ever about 6 degrees of separation from talking about Billy Crystal. So.
This is a Disappearing Pants production.
Embrace the ridiculous!